Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Janet and Tass. We're trying to work out who was going to lead in back then, weren't we, Janet?
We were both pointing at each other across the studios. We're not even in the same studio.
So I know, it's a bit hard with a hole in the wall, isn't it?
Yeah. It's. Oh, we won't go there, Tass. We won't go there.
I'm so looking forward to seeing the end of this.
I know. It's just, it's certainly, we're all doing all of these workarounds, aren't we? And really, my hand. All of this alcohol, Taz, it's not good. It's not good for the fingernails and the hands.
Alcohol? Oh, you mean...
not drinking.
Sanitising your hands. That's what you mean. I see. Are you working from the office or are you working from home?
I've been working from home until the girls went back to school. Mm-hmm. And now I'm working from the office, but only because nobody else is there, and it's just so much easier, isn't it? So yeah, there's right. really I'm working in a large empty space by and large.
Right.
But I've got everything that I need, and it's just luckily I can walk to work, so I'm lucky in terms of where I live.
We've only been able to have our guests on the phone. We haven't been able to actually bring anybody in, but I'm looking very forward to being able to have some guests in the studio, which hopefully won't be too far away. Of course, our next guest is trying to actually connect with us via phone line, and it is Bill Shorten, who's the member for Maribyrnong and also the Shadow Minister for NDIS and Government Services. We were wanting to talk about robo-debt and what's happening in that space. As I understand it, my reading of this is that as of the 1st of July, all those people who were required to pay back money will have that money reimbursed. So interested in understanding from the opposition's point of view what their reflections on this are and this whole saga, so to speak. But I thought while we're at it, we might ask Bill to give us some thoughts on what's occurring here in Victoria. What do you reckon?
I think it'll be really interesting. We've actually got robo-debt's one of the questions that's come up from an SMS message. Somebody wants to talk about that, so maybe they can we can raise that question as well. It's around someone's got a robo-debt or a friend has a robo-debt that they owed from many years back, but... and no longer have the records because they only go back 5 years, and they're wondering when it's been completed.
Will they get their money back?
And can they, how are they going to address that? And it sounds like a very technical question. I'm not sure that we'll have the answers, I think the impact of robo-debt on really vulnerable people has been, full on. So it'll be interesting to hear the messages. I know that politicians talk to people all the time.
Yeah.
So maybe Bill will have some stories from his constituencies.
I hope so. We've also heard that people have taken their lives because of the stress and the pressure that this has put on them. So it's really very concerning. So I think we have Bill Shorten on the airwaves now. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Bill. This is Tass, and Janet is my co-host this morning. Mac is actually in a car, but I understand he's listening in. Good to have you on the airwaves. Good to have you on the airwaves, and thank you for taking some time out to speak with us this morning. We want to talk about robo-debt and the robo-debt saga, but before we go on to that, I'm sure you've actually been tuning into the political machinations here in Victoria with the Labor Party. Do you have any thoughts or any reflections you'd like to share with our listeners this morning?
Labor has to live the game. See, politics is not about power for power's sake. Politics is about power for purpose, power for reform. And when people and millions of people trust Labor and tens of thousands of people campaign for Labor, work hard, from the Premier to members of Parliament right through to the branch members. When you see the reported excesses that we have seen, I just feel for all the people who work hard. I mean, we've got a lot of important things to get done, keep the federal government to account. You know, I can see why people hate politics, but all I would ask for people is to persevere.
It's been a very difficult week for the Victorian government, but I think also a very difficult for week for those true believers and those people who've believed in the party. And to hear some of the language and some of the attitudes that have been expressed, I think are particularly concerning.
Anything which is homophobic or misogynistic is unacceptable. There's no excuse. In terms of some of the just more traditional swear words or unflattering assessments of one's colleagues, well, politics is about relationships and your relationships go up and down. I think we're constantly counselling teenagers about what they put on text messages, but I think it's a lesson all of us need to constantly be relearning.
Do you think this new level of interrogation, you know, this sort of filming and recording is going to have an impact on current MPs and perhaps, you know, aspiring MPs?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what they've recorded. I don't know what has been recorded. The simplest way is to not break the rules of the party. You know, there's a way to get around the issue of what's being recorded, whether or not it's a good or bad thing. It's don't break the rules of the organisation.
Thank you for that. Thank you for your thoughts on all of that. And I understand it's a difficult time for many people on this topic.
Like, I get it. I've worked very hard for 5.5 years as Labor leader. I spend every day trying to work out how to win and how to put forward a progressive policy agenda. So to people, that is what most people are working on the Labor Party most of the time.
So, robo-debt. On the 1st of July, many people can expect to start getting some money back in their bank accounts. Is that correct?
Well, yes. As you know, RoboDebt was an online compliance system which the current Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, heralded when he was Social Security Minister. They were going to use computer algorithms to make sure that all those welfare cheats paid back what they shouldn't have got. So it was born in poor shaming. It was born in the digital workhouse where they're going to use computers to identify the less deserving, and it turns out it wasn't lawful. Now, plenty of people in the community, various progressive political parties, Labor, all campaigned against the unfairness of RoboDebt. But what I discovered when I became the Shadow Minister after our election defeat, and I dusted myself off and started talking to experts about the area which I was responsible for, is that the Commonwealth kept settling cases when people were unhappy, and there were judgments going back, you know, well over 1,000 days, where the Administrative Appeals Tribunal said, hang on, this scheme doesn't seem to be lawful. So I thought, well, if you see a pattern of the Commonwealth surrendering their legal position, not wanting to test it in court, ignoring decisions of tribunals, I thought this might be the only way we can get the government to be accountable is a class action where tens of thousands of people could join together and use that mass to be able to force the government into court. And when the government's been forced to court, miraculously they've discovered it's unlawful. I mean, that was partly also a Victorian Legal Aid Commission decision in November of last year. But now when their ministers are faced with being in court giving evidence, hey, we've just found $721 million to refund to no less than 373,000 people.
Jeez.
So this is a scandal. Some people will be getting their money from the 1st of July. The court action still continues, but the government doesn't know where everyone is or who they owe the money to. So, I wouldn't be surprised if there's more that is owed to people.
Wow.
Janice, read out a message from one of our listeners this morning who says that, Janet, you might recall the message.
So Mez says that she's got a friend who's got a robo-debt that they owed from many, many years ago, but no longer have the records because they only keep records for 5 years, which has been really devastating. And the question was, does he still need to keep paying $1,000 per month as it's breaking him during the lockdown, and or will it take months or years before he's exonerated and can stop paying?
Wow. I think they should probably contact the class action lawyers. Also, if this person, this correspondent, wants to give you their details, we could talk offline and we'll pursue the individual's matter too.
Sure. Sure, we'll pass on those details.
But presumably there's a number of people in those sorts of situations.
I'm assuming tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people, and that really goes to the heart of the matter. The government of Australia has been unlawfully raising debts against people using process servers, and a lot of people just pay, but it's caused distress. Some of the people they're raising against, they're on the safety net because they're vulnerable and this is the last bit of pressure they need. There were uni students not able to get jobs. There were people not able to go overseas. There were people whom this caused a great deal of stress and pressure. When the government says you owe them money, and you don't have any money, but you don't assume the government's acting illegally, this is, in my opinion, a catastrophic breakdown of government policy. And it also shows the broken nature of the parliament under a coalition government. The only reason the refund is happening is because we took court action. The government just brushed it off in parliament.
Are you satisfied with the apology that the government has provided back to these people?
Listen, it's a start. So I'm not going to bag them for saying sorry. We wanted them to say sorry. But what I don't want them to do is to say, well, we're going to relitigate the debts against people another way. What I don't want them to do is take an undue amount of time in court spending our taxpayer money to fight giving money back to people.
Mm.
So I think there's plenty of questions to answer. How can you create an unlawful scheme?
Yeah.
And how can you not detect it's unlawful? And how do you have a strategy where you say, oh, well, we'll take a certain body count, so to speak, if people litigate it. We'll just silence them at the door and give them their money and send them on their way. But why should we have a system in Australia where you have to go get a lawyer and take, or an advocate, or a Labor member of parliament and take them to court to get your money back?
It is a really interesting question about how could the scheme be established, an unlawful scheme be established in the first place? What sorts of processes and systems do you think should have been put in place or should be put in place now to make sure it doesn't happen again?
In the age of big data, you can match, if someone goes to Centrelink and says this is their payments and so therefore they're eligible for a payment, you can check with the tax office to see if that is actually what's happening. But what used to happen before the coalition government in 2015 is if there was a difference between the tax office data and the applicant's data, a human being would go back and check with their employer of the person to check what income they got. So it was a signal, but it wasn't regarded as sufficient proof to issue a debt. What this government did, as best I can tell, is they decided to take all the trained Centrelink checkers out, because there's a skill to this. And they instead decided to turbocharge the number of computer-generated debt notices. And then at best they had a perfunctory system of sending a couple of notices to someone saying, we've got a question, and then if that person didn't answer or couldn't provide the records, the debt was generated. So what this government did is it cost cut, it undermined the quality of the public service.
And put in place a computer.
And just said, we'll rely on the computer. A computer's a tool.
Yes.
But it's not the end of the process. And these guys made it essentially the end of the process.
Mm.
And this is the danger. Like, artificial intelligence and algorithms are very useful. But what happens is that I think that we're creating digital workhouses. And I'm not the first person to say this, but what we do is, in the 19th century, well, in the 18th century in England and then in America, if you were poor, you were sent to a workhouse. Because you were deemed that if you want to get, the basic, bowl of soup and some bread, you had to work for it. because they didn't believe in the undeserving poor. That was then, and we say, well, that was in the history books. But what we're doing now is creating digital workhouses where the computer says you're undeserving. And the other thing is, of course, we're making the vulnerable in our society second-class citizens, because when you've got a an overdue gas bill, or you're dealing with utilities company, that's time-consuming.
Yes, yes.
When you deal with government, it's even more time-consuming, and the nature of being poor is that you don't have discretionary time.
Yes.
You don't have a whole lot of advocacy resources. You mightn't have an employer who's happy for you to sit on the phone for an hour and a half, 2 hours a day in their office as they pay you as you sort out your life. So the digitisation of our welfare system is actually putting a lot more strain on the most vulnerable.
And has very serious limitations, and has hurt so many people in our community. Bill, we're out of time, unfortunately, but I want to thank you for making some time in your busy schedule this morning to speak with us.
Big fan of Joy FM. Hang in there, guys.
Thank you, thank you. Once we're out of this isolation period, we'd love to have you in the studio for a longer chat, if that's possible.
It'd be nice to catch up again. That'd be super.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you for your time, and keep up whatever you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.